With news of the first double game week, we talk Arsenal and Wolves ahead of 26. We debate if we're brave enough to sell Erling Haaland. We're eyeing up Wirtz and considering selling Rodgers, and Sam is especially indecisive on her transfers. Hi guys, it's that time of week again. Another FPL pod, that's Sam clanging about with her bottles and her water. I think that was Sam anyway. Someone is clanging about. I'm going to warn you all, it's an evening podcast and these ones always descend a little bit into chaos. But we are recording just after Manchester City have booked their place in the EFL Cup final, which, Sam, means we now have confirmation of, well, actually it was last night that gave us confirmation, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the first double game week of the season. It is about to get fun. So double game week 26 is confirmed. We'll have that starting in the midweek round. So not this one for the weekend, but the one after will be a double game week. An interesting double as well. The kind we don't really like because it straddles the FA Cup. So there's always a bit of a risk when you have a double that lasts for that long. Risk of rotation, risk of injury, risk of all sorts of things when you've got another set of matches in the middle, but exciting to have the first double game week coming up.
Exactly. Beggars can't be choosers either, can they? We'll take any double game week, even if it is around the FA Cup. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, at points in the podcast. But let's firstly remind you that game week 25 has a Friday evening deadline. Jules, I'm talking to you there as well, because
yes, Friday,
you're sometimes a little bit prone to maybe forgetting deadlines, although you're having a brilliant season, so I know you're not going to forget this week. 6:30 p.m. that deadline ahead of Leeds against Nottingham Forest. Let's crack on with how our game weeks went last week. Jules, that wild card went well.
Yeah, really well. 77 points. A few of the players that came in, like Senesi, for example, like João Pedro, like Bruno Fernandes, did really, really well. Captain on Bruno worked out well compared to, you know, if Haaland had had the armband in my team. I went for Evanilson instead of Kroupi up front because I just had enough money. So I thought, why not for him as a centre forward when Kroupi played more as a second striker or be on the left. And that was a mistake because Kroupi was the star of that Bournemouth win. And Ahmad, because I didn't have enough money to go to Mbeumo, but I wanted two Manchester United attacking players. And to be fair, Ahmad should have had the assist on the Sesko header on the post, by the way. So it was not too far. But overall, it was very good. It's a massive green arrow. I'm top 400 and something now K in the world. So it worked out really well.
Jules, just, I know you've mentioned a few players there, but just talk us through what your final wildcard team was, just so the listeners know who you went with.
So I listened to Sam and went for Petrovic and Dubravka in goal. No need for an expensive goalkeeper. I kept Tarkovsky and Gabriel and Gehi at the back, and I added Senesi and Calafiori. I think Calafiori at some point is going to come back as the starting left back for Arsenal. And I didn't have the money to go to Timber in the way I did the wild cards. Then the midfield, I kept Rodgers and Rice, and I brought in Enzo, who obviously did really well again, Bruno and Ahmad. Not so well. And then up front, the big dilemma was keeping Ekitike or bringing João Pedro. And I would have won in both ways, but hopefully in the midterm, it would be better with João Pedro. So I got João Pedro in for Ekitike and Evanilson for Calvert-Lewin.
77 points this week, Jules. I think that's not too bad because we often see wild cards, don't we? The first week, absolute rubbish. And then they kind of pick up after that. Sam, your wild card, though, continuing to go well. You outscored Jules as well and myself with 79.
Yeah, I was really happy with this. It's 800K green arrow. So I was like, oh, that's nice. So I was very happy bunny. Although I wasn't such a happy bunny on Saturday evening watching Liverpool because obviously I sold Wirtz this week. And I think I said on the pod last week, I was really unhappy about having to do that. And I knew that he would immediately punish me, and he did. And I spent the whole of Saturday after the deadline had passed thinking I should just sold Rodgers instead. I just know that this is going to be a problem with Wirtz. A bit like that, you know, when you brought in Bruno, or people didn't bring in Bruno early for the games against Man City and Arsenal. And then he did really well. I kind of feel the same about Wirtz. So I'm going to be looking for a route back to him relatively quickly. Although what happened in the EFL Cup semi-finals has kind of put a bit of a spanner in the works in terms of my plan for getting him back in, because had Chelsea doubled and not Arsenal, my thought process was, I'll just get rid of Rice and I'll get Wirtz in his place, and that'll be an easy move to make. Obviously now with Rice having a double game week incoming next week, I need to hold him for that one. So it just means I'm just going to have to delay owning Florian for another week, which are probably not going to love. And it'll just be seeing out these couple of games without him, unless I decide to sell Morgan Rogers instead, which is also possible. But yeah, a really good week. I had Creepy. He did really well. My defence did really well with Gabrielle and Timber. A nice clean sheet out of Roofs. That was only my sixth goalkeeper clean sheet of the season. So
why doesn't that surprise me?
I know. And I sat there on Monday night and Burnley was so poor, like no shots on target. And yeah, I spent the whole game watching it. And my other half came in from football and he said, why are you still watching this game? They've had no shots. And I was like, I know, but I've got the fear that this clean sheet will go through they've had nothing the whole game. So I saw the whole thing out just to make sure it locked in, and it did. So that was nice. Obviously had the points like Jules did for Senesi as well, and then Enzo in the middle. So it was a really good week, very few disappointments in there, and captained Bruno, which again went really well, although when Haaland got that early assist against my team and I was sat there watching it, I did think, oh, I've made a horrible mistake. But actually Spurs came good as well, so all around good week for me.
Yeah, I made a couple of transfers. Sam, thanks for doing the maths for me. You've popped it in the script. I knew that they'd come off quite well, but 17 points from the two transfers I made. I did Foden to Enzo and Saka to Bruno. We all captained Bruno, which of course paid off. Okay, plenty more chat to come, but just a quick check-in on the FPL Pod Mini League. Henry Heine is still top with a game week score of 82. He actually took a -4, and he put in Ballard, who got 9 points. Mitoma only got a couple of points, and Bruno Fernandes, who we also captained like we did. So we got 31 points, and in turn he sold Virgil, Sharda and Foden. So he actually is even better than me with his transfers. 24 points up after the -4. He's now 22 points ahead of Oliver Tarby Ajayi, who's in second, who also brought in Bruno this week. He actually still captained Haaland. Suki Sidhu climbed into third spot with 72 points, also captaining Bruno. Matt Marshall is up into fourth with 76 points, also captaining Bruno. That was actually the big difference between those two, and in general, in who got green arrows in our mini league. And those who didn't, a reminder again, the code is XY6XPL. And I think we're at that point in the season now where people start to get annoyed and say to me, do you still need to keep reading the code? Yes, I do. We still want people to join. Okay, then we've already discussed briefly, or Sam clarified, the fact that we know about the double game week. So just to confirm, in case you weren't sure, after those EFL Cup semi-finals, well, after the one on Tuesday night between Arsenal and Chelsea, we now know that the first double game week of the season, we'll see Arsenal and Wolves play twice. So Arsenal's two fixtures are away against Brentford and Wolves. Wolves will travel to Nottingham Forest before welcoming Mikel Arteta's side to Molineux. This does mean that both of these sides will now play in game week 31. Sorry, they won't play in game week 31. I hoped I'd be able to explain all this really clearly and I haven't, which will be a blank game week. So basically, they're going to double and then they're not going to play in 31. So Arsenal and Wolves will not play in 31. Manchester City have also reached the final. But as we discussed, we don't know when they're going to play their double game week because they're meant to play Palace and Palace have got European commitments. So we will sort that out later on. But let's just discuss our excitement about these, Jules, and what they're meaning for your strategy planning.
Yeah, so it's game week 26 where Arsenal and Wolves will have those two games that you mentioned. I think a lot of people already would have three Arsenal players. If you don't, I think it's a must to have for that double game week. Even if
I don't.
So you see, so you have two, right? So you still have a third slot. So yeah, you've got a bit of time to get ready for it because obviously we're now previewing game week 25. The weekend after that will be the FA Cup weekend, as we mentioned. So it will be the one after that. So the third weekend of February, where you will have to be smart with the three Arsenal players that
you have to be smart next week because it starts next Tuesday,
yeah,
the game
exactly.
week. So be ready for that.
Yeah. So if you don't have three, you need three anyway. Three Arsenal players.
So basically,
players,
you don't need to do it for this weekend, do you? But you need
it's
to
the one after,
by Monday or Tuesday. You need to make a decision.
Yeah.
So whether you want to have two defenders, Timber, Gabriel, whoever, Saliba and Rice, or an attacker, but Saka, we're not really sure when he's back. If you want Gyökeres, Havertz seems to be coming back on good form, or Martinelli, Trossard, Odegaard, again, missed
Jules,
out on
stop
the...
giving people too many options. Who would you say the best?
Do you think? So I would keep two defenders. So yeah. Timber, Gabriel, if you have them already, perfect. And then I would add, for me, the three best... You can have Raya instead of Timber, for example, but it would be Raya or Timber plus Gabriel plus Rice. I think you're certain they would play those two games. They would probably start those two games as well and they would guarantee you points.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with Jules' selections there. Sam, are you?
Yeah, Gabriel Timber Rice, I think. So I think if you're chasing and you want to take some punts, like if Saka looks like he's going to be out beyond the double, and obviously, again, because of the FA Cup weekend and the fact that that game isn't till after that, it's a bit of a lottery and you are taking a risk, but you could go for a Madueke or someone like that in the hope that he doesn't get the start and you get it out of your differential, because he really is a differential, like I think not 0.7% ownership. So you can go different with your Arsenal picks, but I think Gabriel and Rice certainly feel like the best two. And then it's just who you want to add. And for me, I agree with Jules. I think going for a defensive double up is the way to go. So I've got Timber and I think he's better than Rea in terms of the potential upside that he could bring you across the double with the threat of goals and assists that he brings.
Okay, so if we're all trebling up on Arsenal, Wolves, of course, team bottom of the Premier League. I think this is probably a different conversation to the one we'd have been maybe having in November, Jules, because at that point, I think it was really hard to consider anyone, wasn't it? But maybe there are some options there now. Would you be considering any? And if so, who?
Yeah, for me, there's only one, really, if you want to go there, it's Mane. We mentioned him before. He was one of our differentials and he worked really well on that game week. The home game against Arsenal is obviously very tricky in itself. In every point, you're unlikely to not concede a goal and it'd be very difficult for you to score a goal. But anything is always possible. But the one against Forest is probably the one where something might happen from a Mane point of view. If you want to go for Tolu or for Wang, you can. Of course, they're slightly more attacking even than him, but he's the most talent in this team. And even if he gets you 4 points over the two games, you probably would take that. If he gets something a bit special, a bit extra in one of the two games, likely the Forest one, then you can maybe go to a good 8 or a good 10 or something like that. And for the price that it would cost you, it's probably a very easy swap. So you're not even taking that much risk anyway. And it should be easy to make if that's the move you want to make. So I probably would advise to go for Mane and pray for the best, sure. But again, it would not be too risky because you would get the 4 points regardless anyway.
I'm inclined to agree. It's freaking me out a bit here, but I'm agreeing with everything Jules is saying.
Yeah, you're agreeing a lot tonight. We should do this late more often.
But Mane, for me, as someone, I do still have my wild card as well. But a lot of people, where forwards maybe it's a little bit hard to pick them at the moment, Sam, Mane's a brilliant enabler for the rest of your team as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it comes down to a straight choice between do you want to go for him or Kroupi, because obviously Kroupi Jr. has the better fixtures. So over the next few weeks, obviously it's Villa up next before Everton, West Ham, Sunderland, Brentford and Burnley. So really lovely run for him. But you don't get a double game week, but you also don't get a blank. So depending upon how and when you're planning to use your wild card and therefore whether you want to chase the upside of the double and really, it's just probably going to be a two-pointer against Arsenal. So it's those two additional points. And as Jules said, it's kind of whatever you get against Forest. Could you see in that double game week him being outscored by Mane, by Kroupi, sorry? Possibly, yes. I mean, Kroupi's got a game against Everton. We'll have to wait and see. But I think if I was going to punt on Wolves on a wild card, it would probably be him. I think Mosquera is not terrible either. The only thing to be mindful of there, because he probably gets defensive contributions across those two games, is that he is also right on the threshold of the 10 yellow cards. So you do have to be really mindful of that, given we have game week 25 and then the first match of game week 26. If he was to pick up yellow cards in both of those fixtures, he would then miss potentially the double game week fixture that follows. So we just have to be really careful of that if you do want to go there. But I kind of feel like it's Mane if you want, but I think I still prefer Kroupi, even though he doesn't have a double.
Both of you have played your wild cards. Neither of you have got a Wolves player. In your position now, knowing you'd have to use a transfer rather than... So for someone like me, it feels like it's a bit different because I could punt on a Mane and I know that I've got a wild card to sort everything out. Will either of you consider a Wolves player, or is it just too risky, would you say, Sam?
It's difficult because... Well, that's the problem, isn't it? So this weekend and what you said at the beginning is right. Like, they've improved significantly over the last month or so. Like, they are a lot better. But when you look at the fixtures that Wolves have, it's Chelsea at the weekend in game week 25 before this double game week that we're talking about. And then after that, it's Crystal Palace, Aston Villa, Liverpool, Brentford, and then a blank. So if you do go there, I think you can afford to do it on a wild card because you can, the other seven can be played in and around these, so you don't have to play Mane across the rest, and you obviously don't need him during the blank. But for Jules and I think selling somebody like Kruppi to go to Mané for a double game week feels really counterintuitive when the Bournemouth fixtures are much, much nicer across this period of time and doesn't give me a headache in game week 31 when I need players to play, because obviously I've got my three Arsenal assets, one of which will be immediately sold after the double game week. So I'll have two. That means I'm going to need to play my other players around them. So adding another one, I think for me, using a transfer, I would rather target the teams that have got really good fixtures for the next 3 or 4 weeks and hope that they bring a bigger pool of points in three game week block than I get out of a Wolves player in that double game week.
Jules, do you have the same mindset?
Well, I should agree with Sam. She speaks so wisely when she speaks like this. But you know me, I want the vibe. I want the adventure. It'd be so cool and so fun to watch Mané in that double game week and
wipe out your double Arsenal clean sheet.
I don't care. I mean, because remember at the Emirates, he obviously had played a big part in the end. Arsenal won, but he gave the assist on the Tolu header to make it 1-1. So. Yeah, knowing me, I think we'll bring Mané in because it could be really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think I probably will as well. Not for this game week, I don't think, but I'll probably do it for
the one after, yeah.
For the double, because like I said, at some point in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to wild card, aren't I? So yeah, but this is what double game weeks do, isn't it? They make us all go a bit crazy. anyway, so we're going to all treble up on Arsenal. Sam's probably not going to have any Wolves, and Jules and I might just do just for the fun. It's probably what a lot of people are going to do. I think we represent most people there. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about the transfer window, because this feels like an age ago. I don't know why. It just feels like a lot's happened since then. But the transfer window shuts on, was it Monday? Yes, it was Monday evening, wasn't it? So there's been a few new signings. We've already spoken about a few of them on the podcast because those moves are made early. We've spoken about Gehi, Semenyo, Johnson. We've also had Pablo and Tati. But what about the others then? A quick word on Tammy Abraham, $6 million at Aston Villa. An option, Jules? You're kind of nodding along.
Yeah, I am. I think it's a very smart move from Aston Villa in real life. I think it could be a smart move for us as FPL managers as well, as we saw in his debut where he scored a goal that was against Brentford that was disallowed, and that was the right call, although they had to come back quite a long time before. But I think he looked sharp. He had done well in Turkey. He scored quite a lot of goals as well in this first half of the season. And because we're not sure about Watkins' fitness exactly and when he'll be back and how fit will he be when he comes back, etc., I think there's a few more games to play here for Tammy Abraham in a Villa team that has decent-ish fixtures coming up, really. So I don't think you'd be, if you really wanted, if you're behind and you're chasing and you want a proper differential, he's your man maybe for this week they play away at Bournemouth, but Bournemouth could be quite open too defensively, as we mentioned many times on the show. So it might not be a bad idea to bring him soon.
Yeah, I really like him as moving $6 million as well. At a time, Sam, where I've already said it on this show and I've said it on multiple in the past, when we don't have many forward options, people were starting to look at Ollie Watkins, weren't they? And then that badly timed injury for both him and Villa came along. But Tammy Abraham feels like potentially a little gift.
Yeah, potentially. I think it's a really weird time in FPL right now, because we're just starting to see the forwards suddenly go, oh, hello, don't forget that we exist, because we spent all this time talking about the midfielders. And then this week, obviously, we had João Pedro coming off the bench and hauling. We had Kruppi getting a hatful. We had good returns from Ekitike as well. We had Dom Solanke getting good returns as well. So we're just starting to see the forwards just put their heads above the parapet, I guess, and say, oh, like, we're here again. But Tammy Abraham is a really nice, interesting price point. He's significantly cheaper than the likes of João Pedro. So when these Chelsea run of fixtures comes to an end in 3 weeks' time, maybe there's an opportunity then to come down from somebody like João Pedro and go for Tammy Abraham, depending upon what we see. But of course, by that point, we might have Ollie Watkins back from injury and we might be sharing rotated minutes again. So I really like him. I was kind of really interested by it because obviously it would free up a midfielder slot if I didn't have to have Rodgers for these nice fixtures and instead I could go for Abraham up top. But the risk of rotation, and I think with Watkins in the sort of more longer term, it just puts me off slightly, especially as I've already played my wild card.
Okay, then Rayan at Bournemouth, $5.5 million, got his first attacking return for the club. He got an assist, I think, for Alex Scott's goal, wasn't it? An option there, Sam?
Fixtures are fantastic. That's why I've doubled up on on Bournemouth. It's why Jules doubled up on Bournemouth on his wild card with Senesi, and I've got Creepy, he's got Evan Nilsson. I think it's the midfielder slots again that's the slightly problematic thing here, isn't it? If we all needed a cheap midfielder, then I think he looks like a really nice option, because players like Harry Wilson are no longer that cheap midfielder option, because they keep taking price rises because he keeps returning every week. But I do like the fixtures. I do like him. I wonder whether we might see a bit of an easing in at Bournemouth. We see that sometimes with Iriola and his team. So I don't know that we're necessarily going to see the starts that we would want, but maybe later on in the season, because actually the Bournemouth fixtures remain nice for quite a long time. So let's give him a few weeks to bed in. By the time we start hitting those blank game weeks, he might be the sort of player that just helps us out to get over that period, but I wouldn't go too early on it through fear of him being eased into that starting 11.
You agree, Jules?
Yeah, he came on in 68th minute. I think this is probably when he will come on this weekend as well. They also have Jimenez, who's doing really well on that right-hand side. Adli on the left-hand side, you've got Ryan Christie that can play in. They've got, despite the injuries, the likes of Tavernier, for example, or Clover, who will come back, by the way, as someone which will make even Ryan's game time even more difficult. But even now, there's still a lot of good options for what Iraola wants to do. So I think he's a good, young, very promising young Brazilian, but it would be some time, I think, before he's really starting. And if he doesn't, if he's not guaranteed a starter, then you should wait.
I'm asking Jules this with a smile. Conor Gallagher, 5.4 million at Spurs.
Yeah, because if you had asked Sam, she would have said, make him captain, really, on your team. I mean, remember that season he had at Crystal Palace? He was everybody loved him in FPL. He was so outstanding. He was great. I thought he played really well in that second half against City. Obviously, there's the assist for Solanke, although, let's be honest, the goal is so incredible and so spectacular that it's got nothing to do with the assist. Actually, the ball is too much behind Solanke, hence the Scorpio kick. But the activity is important. The problem I have is that, as Sam would well know, this Spurs team is so unpredictable. You just don't know what kind of performance they're going to put up. And that, for us managers, where you are looking for certainties and guarantees that are already very hard to find in the game, if you go with Spurs not knowing if Saturday is going to be a good day or a bad day, or a good half or a bad half or not, no, not for me. Not for me, Clive. Not now.
Yes or no for you? I love that phrase, not for me, Clive. Always makes me laugh. Sam, just quick.
No. I mean, he was fantastic in the second half.
But you're not buying him, are you?
No, you're not. Don't buy any Spurs players for at least 3 weeks. I mean, look, let's be frank. Like, Jules is absolutely right. We never know what we're going to get. They might turn up for half a football and they play brilliantly like they did against Man City in the second half. But they were absolutely dreadful for the first 45 minutes. So it literally was a game of two halves, that one. And the next three fixtures are difficult. It's Manchester United, who have really found their form, up next. Before Newcastle, it's a home game though, and who knows, Spurs at home, like, goodness only knows what I'm going to watch on that one in midweek. And then obviously it's the North London derby, where Jules and I won't speak to each other for a week. So we'll see. Like, after that, the fixtures are nice, and hopefully after that we start to get some players back from injury, because wouldn't that be novel? And then maybe at that point you might look at Conor Gallagher if you need a cheap midfielder. But right now those midfielder slots are just too important for somebody like Gallagher, which is a bit sad.
And Stefan Ortega signed for Forest. He was in the crowd, wasn't he? Sells got injured. Yeah. This is probably one that if we were speaking about before that injury, we would have said no, but now maybe an option, Jules?
Yeah, 4.7 million, which is, I think, a decent amount for a goalkeeper. He hasn't played all season though. So I know for goalkeeper, he's maybe not as important as an outfield player in terms of match fitness and sharpness, and he hasn't forgotten how to save shots. I get that. But again, I'm not sure in what kind of shape he will be in those games in a Forest defense that is obviously not as strong as the one that we saw last season with Celtic and, you know, and Murillo and Milenkovic, Aina, et cetera, and Nico Williams, who got sent off too. So I'm not too sure. And also, I think when Sells comes back from injury, I would be surprised if Sells is not the number one anyway. So I would not go on Ortega until we have a bit more clarity maybe on what's going to happen there.
Do you know what? This might be the only time, or the first time rather, since the 2010-2011 season that we see a club pay four goalkeepers in the Premier League in a season.
Wow.
That's because they've already paid three. Yeah, it was Arsenal last time, by the way, back in 2010-2011.
Wow, great stuff.
Jeez. Yeah, it was there a very good start. And on that note, we'll move on to the next section.
Because, sometimes I have them.
Yeah, because we can't top that in that section. We'll move on. Buy, sell, keep. We often play this on the show, don't we? And it often comes at times when maybe some of our more owned or more popular players have potentially got a few question marks over them, or we're not quite sure what to do. So let's start with the main man in FPL, but doesn't have a double scheduled, but will later in the season, but we don't know when that'll be. And I don't know. He got a return at the weekend, but he's been a little bit inconsistent by his standard. I'm saying this hesitantly because every time you talk about Erling Haaland like this, he goes on to punish you. But yeah, that's who I'm talking about. I mean, I'm not selling him because I'm not brave enough to, but I guess some people will, Jules.
Yeah, probably. It'd be very tempting to do so. We said 2 goals in his last 10 in all competition, one of them being a penalty. There was this the assist at the weekend at Spurs, which is, again, I know I'm repeating myself. It's not really an assist, let's be honest. It's just a sideways
is
pass that all of us...
Is there a report that goes past where he doesn't say
no,
that?
But like, no. If we know...
He's got a moan about one.
I know. It really bugs me. It really, really bugs me. But hey, he got the points. We were happy with his 5-pointer or whatever he got. Yeah, 5, I think. But he only had 2 shots in that game. 1 in the 17th minute, 1 in the 82nd minute. So nothing in between. He actually did nothing in between in the Spurs box. And the second one was a block shot anyway. So he was not even, he was not going anywhere. I'm amazed that this City team doesn't create more for him, doesn't produce more moments for him, that he's got not more shot. 2 shots for a player like him is ridiculous in a Premier League match. And it's not the first time. We've said it many times through the season so far on the show. There've been games where he had 1 shot in the whole 90 minutes. And you think like, how is this even possible? So I could understand if you don't want to keep him. Absolutely. They play Liverpool this weekend away, as we said, and then it'll be Fulham, Newcastle, Leeds, Forest, some good fixtures, some like Newcastle, maybe a bit more tricky, but he's still Erling Haaland. He didn't start tonight in the Carabao Cup semi-final, second leg, which obviously tells you that he's going to start at the weekend, which we knew anyway. But it's a tricky time for him. And I remember last season, I kept him for too long when he was really going through the bad patch that City also had, and I regretted it. So, you know, maybe we should be very aware of that.
Are you selling him though?
No.
Neither am I, Sam.
So, like, of course, you know.
You know, but I feel like if Jules isn't selling him, no one is, because Jules is out of the three of us the most likely to make the bold decisions.
Sure.
He's dropped by 3% recently, 3% ownership, which is quite a lot.
Yeah, still so nothing. Is he still on like 70-ish or something?
70% ownership. I think the bigger conversation here is around the captaincy, because having sat there and watched him closely, because when you haven't captained Erling Haaland and you sit in the stands and you watch Erling Haaland, it's not fun. It really isn't fun. Every time Man City had the ball, I was like, gosh, where's Haaland gone? Is he anywhere near the goal? Can someone please mark Haaland? Is basically how I was thinking the whole game. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because at the weekend, Semenyo and Cherki were fantastic, both of them, particularly in the first half, but they're very much looking for goal themselves. They're not being the chief creator for Erling Haaland that maybe somebody like Doku is. So when Doku's on the pitch, Doku looks to supply Haaland at every possible opportunity. He creates well for him. Without him there, we've got Semenyo who, let's be frank, I think wants to win the Golden Boot himself. And then on the other side, we've got Cherki who is just unreal. Like, he's unbelievably good. So those two are looking to score at every possible opportunity. And that does mean that Haaland's getting less people producing stuff for him. And over seasons gone by, he's had a good supply line of players giving him the ball to score from. I'm not going to sell him simply because I don't need the money for anything else at the moment. And there isn't another forward that I'm really like, oh, I really, really must get to you. I think if over the coming weeks, particularly over the next couple, if Ekitike starts going off, that might be the moment where I have to look at this, because, and then it's going to be a straight choice between, well, do I sell somebody like João Pedro or do I sell somebody like Erling Haaland? That maybe the fixture swings are enough, but we do have the blank coming up in 31. Mm. So depending upon where the double goes, I think there will be big conversations. I think it's too early to sell yet, but I don't think we have to be captaining. And that's how I think you differentiate your team, is just by not handing in the armband so regularly.
Okay, moving on. For the managers who own Saka, he's probably a sell, isn't he? Jules, while we wait for information.
Yeah, that hip injury that he got during the warm-up against before the Leeds game last weekend, which obviously was completely unexpected because he was fit before that, and we're not really sure exactly how long he'd be out for. He didn't play against Chelsea on Tuesday night. I think it's very unlikely that he will play on Saturday against Sunderland either at the Emirates. So for that, it depends. Again, if the rest of your squad is strong and you can have him on the bench, because again, I don't think he'd be too long anyway, for 2, 3, maybe 4 games maximum, let's say, and you can afford to do that, no problem, then keep him because he's going to be good again when he comes back. But if you don't have maybe the strongest of benches, or if you don't have the strongest of replacement for him in your squad right now, then I think it's an easy sell. As long as if he comes back and then starts playing well again, you make sure that you can bring him back, not too difficult way, then I think, yeah, sell him. We said the midfield, there's so many great options in midfield that you can't also just keep Saka for the sake of keeping him, especially at his price. So you can go easily from him to Wirtz, to Semenyo, to players like that, and you'd probably be better for it, certainly this weekend coming up, and maybe even when Arsenal have the double, where he might not play.
Okay, then. So I think Sam, you agree with Saka sell, yeah?
Yeah, I don't think you can hold.
What about who do you buy instead, and kind of what do we do with... Oh, we've spoken about Arsenal, haven't we? Their fixtures look really good, so we're probably going to keep invested. We're going to keep tripled up, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. I think if you already have Gabriel and Rice, let's just assume that you have them. If you don't have one of them too, then
you have to,
Saka out and get one of them. If you've already got both of them, then I would move away from the double Arsenal attack. I would sell Saka. I would go to Wirtz. I think that makes perfect sense. There's conversations around whether you want to go for Mbeumo or somebody like that. But to me, I think the way that Man City have been defending of late, and the fact that Spurs managed to score twice against them, and the way that Ekitike and Wirtz played for Liverpool at the weekend, I would just go to Wirtz, because when you get past that Man City game, you then have this great run of fixtures. Sunderland, Nottingham Forest, West Ham, Wolves. It's just really nice. And even if you look even further beyond that, it's Spurs and then Brighton in the blank game week. So I think you just go there instead. And then double up defensively with Gabriel and Timber.
Okay. Cole Palmer. Oh, if he went off in these next three fixtures, we could really profit. Jules, what are you making of Chelsea? We've seen them. And I mean, let's not start the debate on whether they played well and whether they got their tactical approach right against Arsenal, because I know there's been a lot of debate since that game. But yeah, where are you standing with Chelsea, and particularly Cole Palmer?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating discussion to have. He had been a bit in and out recently. We're not sure. I don't think he's fully fit either.
That's the concern, isn't it, for us in FPL?
It is. But he's owned by 12%. He's not even a differential anymore. I mean, he is in a way, because it's only 12 for a player of his quality, who obviously we've been used to with him of many points, etc., especially 2 seasons ago. And 12% is significant considering his price at 10.4 million. The fact that he hasn't played much, and he hasn't, more importantly, returned much. I was looking... So it's 2-0-9-1-2 and then 7-2-5. So it's very irregular if you think about it. It's not like even in 3 or 4 weeks in a row, he'd return every single time. So it's risky to bring him back. He clearly didn't seem too happy in the chat that he had with Madueke after the Arsenal-Chelsea game on Tuesday night, where it seems like Madueke was saying, bro, you need to play in your position instead of playing on that right-hand side, like by the touchline, where clearly this is not where you get the best out of Cole Palmer. And Cole Palmer seems to agree too. So it'd be interesting to see what Liam Rossinho does with him in the next few games. If he can even start all those games and be fit enough to play at least an hour in those games, because that hasn't really been the case lately. So it's really interesting. If he's Cole Palmer at his best, I think he's worth investing in him considering the Chelsea fixture. But there's a reason why none of us have him, right? And only 12% of the managers have him, and not more. It's because we're not really sure where he's going, basically.
So you're not buying him at the moment?
No. It's too much money for not being sure enough, you know.
Sam, I'm presuming you're not buying him. You've also got, you went Enzo on your wild card. That's the other thing, isn't it? There's a nice, much cheaper, kind of at the moment, more reliable in terms of fitness and starts player there, isn't there? Would you be keeping him if you had him though?
No, because I think genuinely there are three better Chelsea players right now. Like, I think in FPL, if you look at it, you'd have Enzo, you definitely have Del Pedro. And then you've got players like Cucurella and Chalobah and even the goalkeeper, who I would put all of them higher than owning Cole Palmer, because at least with them, the games that they have coming up, Wolves and Burnley, you know they're going to play. So those guys, they're going to play in those fixtures. There's no Champions League to worry about. So, and now they, you know, they're out of the cup, so we don't have to think about blanks and stuff with them either. So for the next 3 weeks, it's just full focus for Chelsea on these league matches, apart from the FA Cup, of course. I just think that there's five better players in the Chelsea team to own right now than Cole Palmer, which is a ridiculous statement to make, given how expensive Cole Palmer is and how brilliant he's been for us in FPL over the last few years. But I don't trust him to start in all of those three fixtures. I think he probably starts one or possibly two of them and maybe misses out on the other one altogether, or comes off the bench and just plays a little part in at the back end of it. So I just don't think you can spend that money and waste a midfielder slot. If you've got Palmer and you don't have Enzo, just do the swap.
Okay, there's plenty of other players we could discuss in this section, and maybe we'll do that on next week's podcast. But let's move on to differential of the week. The less said about last week, the better. Between you, you got a total of 4 points. Unfortunately, none of that was a return. It was just 2 points each. You both went for the wrong forwards, to be honest, didn't you? Jules, you went for Barry.
Yeah.
And yep. And Sam, you went for Evan Nilsson when Kroupy scored, and you had Kroupy at least, or at least you benefited in some form. Just because J's before S in the alphabet, Jules, you can go first.
Okay, even me, I'm not completely convinced with this one. I will tell you why after. But I went for Noni Madueke. We mentioned him already because of Bukayo Saka's injury and because he looked really good against Leeds. And I think in a very cagey game against Chelsea, you could still see what he can bring to this Arsenal team in this condition on his favourite right-hand side. Mm. Owned by less than 1% of the managers. So you are in differential planet, world, dimension, anything you want proper. 6.8 million, so it's a little bit expensive, I still think. But it's not too bad. And he got 14 points against Leeds, as we just mentioned. The only thing I would say is I think Sunderland are not just going to park the bus, but also the train that goes down from Sunderland, whatever train, Avanti West, whatever it's called, you know, that's going to park there at the Emirates. They're going to bring the trucks who are doing all the works on the motorways in the UK to park there. And I think you're going to see a very strong Sunderland defensive performance on Saturday at the Emirates. Whether that's enough for them to get a point or not, I don't know. But it certainly will make life more difficult for the attackers at Arsenal to break them down, including Madueke on that right-hand side. I still believe that he can do something special, even if he's just on set pieces, because he will take the in-swinging corners from his right-hand side, obviously. So I would go for him. But again, I think that he will find a very, very strong and solid Sunderland defence against him.
Sam, yours?
He was one of mine. I think he is a good pick. So that means I've got Aaron Wan-Bissaka in which case. So he's 4.1% owned, so a little bit more popular than Jules's pick, but he is only going to cost you 4.1 million. And look, it's against Burnley. They had no shots on target against Sunderland at all in game week 24. They were awful. And I just think that the way that Burnley played, they played with a lot of possession. Like, they had more possession than Sunderland did. They put together more passes than Sunderland did. And that just might bode well for Aaron Wan-Bissaka, because he picks up DEFCON on a semi-regular basis. He had that against Spurs in game week 22. So we might see some additional DEFCON points there. He also had the couple of assists against Chelsea. And given the way that Burnley defend, I do think that down that side, the Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Jarrod Bowen side, we might see some potential. Now, I've picked Jarrod Bowen a lot already this season, so I can't go there again. So I'll pick his buddy on his side and have Wan-Bissaka, because hopefully there's a clean sheet and some DEFCONs, and maybe there's an attacking return as well.
Nice, I like it. Okay, let's talk about transfers and captains. Let's firstly talk about transfers, because I think this is a rare time where maybe we haven't, no one's confirmed their transfers by this point of the pod. Jules? Probably because Jules doesn't know what he's doing yet.
No, I want Florian Wirtz definitely in the team. Maybe not for this game week, because I think this Liverpool City game could also be a bit cagey. So I think what I'll do after that, so I'll roll this one and I'll have four free transfers. And then I can do Mane for Ivan Nilsson and Wirtz for Rodgers then. And then that will look beautiful.
Rodgers is an interesting conversation. And being honest, he was the player that I wanted to do in the buy, sell, keep section, because that is a transfer that I am potentially, if I don't do it this week, I will do it next week. because I'm getting frustrated with Morgan Rodgers, and I think probably a few managers are. Sam, are you the same?
Yep.
After wanting him for so long.
Yeah, well, I was torn between selling him and Wirtz last week and made the wrong call on it. And in the end, it was slight fear, if anything. Like, the over the last couple of weeks, the Aston Villa fixtures have been a lot nicer than Liverpool's. Obviously, Liverpool had a tricky game last weekend, and then obviously the Man City game coming up this weekend. Whereas Aston Villa had what on paper looked like a really nice fixture at home to Brentford last week, and then obviously this week they're away at Bournemouth, who haven't necessarily been keeping a lot of clean sheets in recent weeks. So it made sense to hold Rodgers. I don't plan to hold him long term. He is probably going to be one of my routes back to Wirtz after the Manchester City game. I think I want to do that for the midweek round of fixtures, but I'll wait and see on that one. My slight issue this week is that I really want to go from Dominic Calvert-Lewin to João Pedro. Except I don't really have the money to do that. I need an extra, like, 0.3.
Calvert-Lewin's got a good fixture this week as well, though, no?
He has. He's got Nottingham Forest. So I'm really torn as to what to do here. Like, my team actually looks really nice on paper for this weekend round of fixtures, which is always a little bit of a concern when your team looks good, because then tends to not live up to the hype. But I think I would bring João Pedro in and hand him the captain's armband for the weekend. Whereas I don't necessarily love any of my players for the captaincy this week. Like, I'm looking at them and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go with Haaland away at Liverpool.
Bruno, no?
Bruno maybe at home to Spurs is the other option. Enzo away at Wolves, possibly. But Wolves defensively have been a little bit more solid. I'd rather have João Pedro as the captain, if anything. Gabriel maybe is an option if we think that Sunderland are literally just going to try and park the train and the bus and everything else that they're going to park. Yeah, everything else. So maybe he's an option. I don't think I want to captain Rice. So yeah, I am a little bit torn. I've got two free transfers, so I could do another one. The transfer that I could do in order to make that work is to go from Senesi to Hill. So I'll still stay invested in the Bournemouth defence. It's just I won't have Senesi, I'd have Hill instead. They level out most of the time in terms of the defensive contributions and everything else. So that's possible. It saves me nearly a million. And obviously that nearly a million means that this week I could do Dominic Calvert-Lewin to João Pedro. And it would also leave me the money for next week to go from Rodgers to Wirtz. So it does feel like that's probably the best place to reduce spend. But I need to think about it a little bit more. I'm also conscious that João Pedro is going to keep taking price rises. Mm. And the longer I leave it to make that decision, the harder it's going to be for me to get to him. So difficult one, unless I just pray that Wolves are defensively solid and roll in without João Pedro again this week.
That was the longest transfer segment ever from you.
Can you see that I'm torn?
You started at 39 minutes of this show and it's 46 minutes now. No. I'm kidding.
So who are you? You're not far off. Who are you captaining then?
We still don't know, by the way. You're waffling so much, we're not sure.
No, I understood our transfer dilemmas. But then within that, you started talking about captaincy. So I'm just wondering, are you captaining as well? You don't know. Well, I'm captaining Bruno.
It was five options.
Jules probably is.
No, João Pedro probably for me, yeah.
If I bring in João Pedro, I'd captain João Pedro. Yeah. Otherwise, it'll probably be Bruno. But Bruno against my own club feels horrible.
You can't do that. And I was at the game, the Arsenal chasing very quickly, and João Pedro was...
Don't you start rambling now.
He was outstanding. And I know they didn't score, and I know he was very, as we said, very tactical and defensive, blah, blah, blah. But he was still amazing. He's in great form right now.
I love it when we need a quick transfers and captains thing and you both ramble on. And then even Jules attacks you for rambling on and then adds a ramble on of his own at the end.
I was precise, sharp and quick, you know.
Okay, that's not a word that can be used to describe this podcast, that's for sure. Thanks, guys, as always, I think. Friday night deadline, a reminder, 6:30 p.m. ahead of Leeds versus Nottingham Forest. Fancy show's back on Friday. I've got two guests with me in the studio, I believe. We'll be back twice next week, starting on Monday, when we'll be reviewing Game Week 25 and then also looking ahead to double Game Week 26. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.